Hello and welcome back to You Only Live Twice. This is Courtney.
And Scott.
And we are here today to talk about friends, which does not sound like a thing that would be super exciting to talk about. But I feel like once you get to be, well, I guess even preteens, friends start to be harder. And then once you get to be in your 20s, 30s, 40s, I hate saying 40s. It's just a whole different thing in how you look at friends. And I'm going to tell you something that I think a lot of people were going to disagree with.
I'm just glad I'm included this week.
Yeah, you're welcome. Because I did my own last week on my career path thing. But yeah, my take on friends is I don't think that people have a lot of friends. I think that people have a lot of acquaintances, but they don't actually have a lot of true friends.
Well, how do you define a true friend, though?
Ah, so happy you asked. No. Because I feel like everybody thinks that friend is something different. And to me, a friend is somebody who is always there for you. You enjoy being around them. They somehow add to your life. So whether it's humor or support, or it can be in a lot of different ways. It can also be somebody that you don't talk to for 6 months to a year just because life happens. And you can call them up and be talking about your kids and family and life. And then all of a sudden start talking about how you haven't pooped in 2 weeks. And that's completely normal and acceptable. Which if anyone thought that was weird that I just brought that up, we probably wouldn't be friends. But my friends would be like, yeah, that's Courtney. So a friend is there for you no matter what.
Have you pooped in 2 weeks?
Yes. Okay. I feel like we'd be in the ER if I hadn't.
Okay. I'm just checking. I mean, you brought it up. I'm just making sure. You know, as a good friend, you got to ask the follow-up question.
I am full of crap. Ha ha, ba-dum-bum. But no, I have.
Okay.
Thank you for asking. Because, yeah, I appreciate you being my friend. That sounds super creepy to say it that way. So what would you classify as a friend?
Somebody that you can count on, but somebody that will randomly reach out to you with no agenda,
mm-hmm.
I think is important. But
that's a big part, the agenda part, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, people will reach out, but more often than not, when somebody reaches out to you, they have an agenda. And so somebody just willing and able and wanting to check in just to check in,
mm-hmm.
To me is what a true friend is.
Yeah.
So I don't have a whole lot of those people in my life. I've had a lot of people come and go that filled that void for certain parts of my life, but.
Because everyone grows. It's a relationship the same way as like a marriage where people get married at a young age and then some don't work out because you just move in different directions, things like that. It's the same way with relationships, like just friendships, because if you don't grow together, like there's some people from my past that I would consider, if I saw them, I'd be friendly with them, but I wouldn't say, oh, that's my friend Amy. Like the person that I went to school with.
Would you call them my acquaintance Amy?
No, because that sounds creepy as well. Or just weird, awkward, not creepy. But I will say, so my one thing, because it's kind of like a friend, on Facebook, which is definitely dating us as well, if, well, let's admit it, nobody who doesn't use Facebook, is listening to this. But on Facebook, I won't friend somebody there unless if I saw them in public, I would actually say hi. Because I know the people who will be like, friend, and accept like whoever just because they want to have friends and they just think if they're Facebook friends are friends. But unless I would see you out in public and actually go, oh, hi, Brandy. No, I'm not going to be your Facebook friend, which some people might think is snobby because maybe I just haven't met you yet and I've heard you're a great person. But I don't want to meet you and become your friend by stalking your Facebook profile.
That's a pretty short list for you then, because you don't like talking to people in public in general. So I have a feeling even some people you call your friends, you wouldn't say hi to in public because
I would say hi. I wouldn't have a long conversation, but I'd say hi. And then I'd move on my way. But I say hi.
I think that's a short list.
Shorter than others, yes. But again, it'll get into what we're going to get into, which is about prioritizing those that I actually do want to be friends with and care about. So I was trying to remember, do you remember that one quote that I heard? It was towards the end of last summer where it said, like, you can go through life and have experiences, but if you experience it with somebody else, like, it makes, that's what makes life fulfilling, like having that shared experience with someone.
Yeah.
I forget exactly what that was. So even though I'm an introvert, right, like, I still understand you need to have people around you. Or else your life just won't be as fulfilling. Not that you're going to be miserable. I'm not saying people don't have friends, they're going to be miserable. But it's just that extra element of sharing something with somebody.
But you don't like having people around.
No, I do like having my friends around. That's why I'm saying I like my friends. Acquaintances, I can do without. Because they're two very different things.
Do you say hi to an acquaintance in public?
I can sometimes. I don't feel like I have to. I might duck around the corner at Kroger a little bit faster or put on my sunglasses and be incognito because in the Midwest, I can just be anybody.
I just pictured you ducking around a corner at Kroger with a shopping cart and hitting a little old lady.
Oh, not that hurt. Not a little old lady.
Or a kid.
And see, that's the thing. Even though they're not my friend, I would say hi to a little old lady because they say some of the craziest things and they're just funny to talk to.
So how do you feel about just saying hi to strangers in general as a good gesture and good faith of just being polite?
I'm fine with that. If I'm traveling too, as long as I'm not sitting next to them and there's not a chance of sitting next to them on a plane. If I think that I might have to be stuck near them, I will not open that floodgate. Because once it's open, you can't stop it. But, like, let's say I'm exiting the airport. I'll say hi. I'll even have a couple exchanges of sentences. Talk about the weather. Are you from Fort Wayne? Things like that, just to act like a real human being.
But, like, if you pass someone in the sidewalk, you don't go, hey, how are you?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I don't actually want to stop and have a conversation, but I do the niceties.
What'd you call them? The niceties?
The niceties.
Niceties.
Niceties, yeah.
That was another thing about the airplane.
Oh, what's that?
Yeah. You getting stuck talking to somebody in an airplane for 2.5 hours has to be your personal hell.
Well, it depends. So the guy, because I had two that I talked to the entire way back from where my job is to Fort Wayne. And remember the one time it was a guy who wanted to show me every picture on his phone.
Yeah.
His picture roll. Talk about his son being a part of the shooting club, then trying to recruit our kids to be part of the shooting club, like the gun shooting club.
Yeah.
Because that sounded like a fun thing for them to do.
Yeah.
Talked about everything with his family, his wife, how him and his wife were doing, all kinds of stuff. I didn't care, but I carried on that conversation like I cared. So I took one for the team. Now the
whose team?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But then the one other time, remember, I was like, oh, I met somebody on the plane and him and his girlfriend seemed like they would be really nice and fun to hang out with. But she's a travel nurse and they're going to Colorado next month. So I did try to make a friend. And I think I would have if they weren't moving away. And to clarify, he told me that they were moving away at the beginning. It's not that I was so weird by the end. He was like, how do I get this person to stop talking to me?
Sure, we'll go with that.
So I can. It depends on how bored I am and how much anxiety I have on the plane. Yeah.
You're not going to put your earbuds in and pretend you're listening to something kind of girl?
No, I'll do that. I'll do that.
That's my go-to.
Well, you do that, though, even if we just go to the gym together. But I digress. Okay, so back to friends. So this is, I don't know if we want to call it a Courtney quirk, a Courtney-ism, what you want to call it, but things that you can say your little opinion on. I feel like you find out who your friends are whenever you go through life-changing events. And that's why I feel like you and I have very select friends because we've both been through a lot of life-changing events. And that's where, if you're an acquaintance, they tap out because they go, that's too much for me. Like, I'm here for the fun. I'm here to go to the bars. I'm here for the bachelor parties, but once life gets real, they're gone.
Yeah.
So, like, let's say, oh, I don't know, you flatlined and now you need to completely change your whole lifestyle. The friends who actually wanted to be friends with you as a person versus what you could, well, I mean, to your point, kind of the agenda, maybe it wasn't a known agenda, but what they got out of you was good time, fun time, Scott. And now that part has changed a little bit just because the way that you have fun might have changed. So I think we've learned who it's actually worth, like who's worth investing in.
Yeah.
So that's why I have like my three or four friends from high school. Some of them even from preschool, three from preschool, not even joking. One from birth, you know, Beth. But I mean, anytime that I went through anything, I could have not talked to them for 2 years and called them up and they were there for me.
Yeah.
So that's where I feel like friends are there even whenever stuff hits the fan.
Yeah, I my whole friend group, I guess you could say, changed when I had my event because my lifestyle changed. Not a lot of people were willing to go on that journey with me.
Yeah.
Like, I still have, like, our fantasy football group from our high school days, and we shoot the shit on our group chat, but and I could hang out with any of those guys any given moment and pick up kind of where we left off. But it's not like I reach out and talk to those people on a regular basis.
Yeah. Now, did they reach out to you after, like, let's say, after your heart attack, after your divorce, like, after major life-changing events?
Heart attack, yeah. I actually saw one of my best friends. He actually, when I was in Tampa Bay, like, 2 months afterwards, and he actually came to see me. So, yeah, after that, but not my divorce, no.
Yeah.
It was also during COVID, so.
There's still phones, though. That's the thing that people, I feel like there's so many ways to keep in touch with people today.
Yeah.
Like back in Little House on the Prairie days when you had to send a telegram on a horse, that's one thing.
Yeah.
Like you can keep in touch with somebody. Even grandmas can, so.
Yeah, it was a different stage in my life, I guess.
Yeah.
I really, I guess I closed myself off to a lot of friends just because I was not in the best place.
Yeah.
Mentally, so. I think that affects, like, your mental state can affect where you are with other relationships because you can literally push people away.
Yeah.
Whether it's intentional or not intentional. But to your point, those that stick around and actually care or want to put the effort in, doesn't matter where you live, will make that work. I mean, I've moved quite a bit since my high school days where a lot of my high school friends are in the same town we grew up in.
Yeah.
So they all see each other still and hang out, and I'm no longer in that world, I guess.
So have you ever been dumped by a friend?
I mean, I guess. I don't know, like, I've been ghosted, I guess. But, like, you just part ways where you don't, I think I've done it to people, too.
Yeah.
Where I just kind of ignore it and maybe don't answer the phone call or shoot a couple texts and just kind of move on with my day. But yeah.
So I feel like, the natural progression of friendships, especially as you get older, like you just naturally drift apart. But I'm talking about the ones who legit will be like, hey, we're friends, but you're just a little too much right now. And like they essentially break up with you when, again, to me, the friends are the ones who should be there for you when the shit hits the fan. Yeah. So whatever becomes too much. Yeah. And here's the thing with us, I feel like anybody who's met either one of us in the past 4 years, we've had, well, divorces, we've had job changes, we've had multiple people pass away in our family. We've had the selling of multiple homes. We've had the buying of homes. We've had, what else have we had? Blending of families as a whole. We've had people become teenagers. I mean, if somebody is friends with us, you know that there's naturally crap that comes along with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like if that's a surprise to somebody, you probably aren't a friend.
True.
So, yeah, that's one thing. I feel like, if anything, not that my true friends and I thrive on that. But if somebody calls me up and they say, hey, I have this going on and it is drama or an issue, like, that's when I feel like this is what I'm here for.
Yeah.
And normally, okay, so I know I don't like to talk to people in general, but if I'm talking to one of my friends, I like to talk a lot.
Yeah.
But if they have something to talk about, I can sit there and listen to them talk for an hour, 2 hours, and just let it all out.
Yeah, but that's a rare trait that not a lot of people have.
Shutting their mouths?
Or, no, just, or listening in general.
Oh.
Like, I think a lot of people are, selfish, and they don't want to listen to somebody else. They want to talk about them and themselves only.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of friendships or acquaintanceships are one-way streets.
Yeah.
So, like, to your point, I don't think a lot of people have true friends that they can count on more than one hand.
Yeah.
Who would actually listen to them when they needed it.
Yeah. So, on to my next thing. Question. What do you do if your kids have friends, but you dislike the parents, or if you are friends with somebody, but you really dislike who they're with? How do you manage that? How do you think those dynamics go?
Well, I don't think you have to be friends with your kids' friends' parents.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to be cordial.
Yeah.
But not, you're not going to be friends with all of your kids' friends' parents.
Yeah.
I think that's unrealistic. It would be nice if you had a nice core group.
Yeah.
That you could trust.
Yeah.
That your friends got along with.
Mm-hmm.
Or your kids got along with their kids. And so, like, it would make life a little more simple. You could do a lot more things. I don't think it's necessarily something that you have to have. Now, the spouse thing is interesting because that would be a big challenge, I would think, because a lot of times people want to, in relationships, want to do things together. I know we want to do things together.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know I would let you because I want you to have friends. But if somebody didn't like me but wanted to hang out with you, that would be challenging.
Yeah.
But I think the sign of a good relationship is allowing that person to have their own life to a certain degree as well. And so if that were the case, I would absolutely be all for you hanging out with that person, and I'd figure out something else to do, I guess.
See, I think for some random reason, like, so again, my best friend that I mentioned from whenever I was born, our parents were best friends. Our sisters were best friends. So essentially, her and I were, if we weren't best friends, if we hadn't gotten along, we just would have been screwed. But they were best friends. And then whenever I made another best friend in fifth grade, I feel like I was almost like a parent matchmaker where I'm like, hey, parents, meet each other. And like, they became best friends.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's just because again, those are still my true friends. So we had so much in common as being true friends that maybe it's just because our parents raised us similarly that
they
had similar thoughts and morals and like to enjoy the same things. But like, we would even go on vacations together, and you don't really see that as much today. But I just feel like somehow, at least again, my best friends, our parents always got along.
Yeah.
But maybe they were like, oh, I really want to hang out with Ed and Linda, but Courtney's a little shit, and I just never knew I was the one that they had to deal with as the annoying kid. Okay, some probably thought that.
Yeah, I was
but I was lovable. I made everybody laugh.
Well, that you do.
Yeah.
Well, here, let me ask you this.
Okay.
How do you feel about the thought of marrying your best friend?
I think that the person you marry needs to be your best friend.
Yeah.
Because you need to have enough in common that once you get to be old and wrinkly and saggy and can't do half the things you normally do, you can still just sit down and shoot the shit and love being around that person.
And playing board games competitively.
I'm going to kick your butt whenever you get older. So, yeah, we'll continue to be you. But no, I mean, that's something that, yeah, because I know there's different people. I feel like if you ask them who their best friends are, they wouldn't even think about mentioning their spouse or their girlfriend or boyfriend.
Yeah.
Because that's a different person in their life. And they'd be like, oh, well, yeah, they're my friend. But, like, to me, not that that should be, like, number one that you mentioned, because it sounds kind of weird to be, like, they're number one, even though they should be priority in your life. But, like, you have to be, like, best friends with them.
Yeah.
How else would you put up with all the annoying things that they do? Because everybody is annoying. Everybody does stuff that's annoying. So, if not...
Not you, sweetheart.
I annoy myself. That's why I love me some me, but some days if I'm at home by myself, I'm like, I cannot wait until somebody gets home to just take my brain somewhere else. Interesting. Okay, so this is a thought that I have, and I don't really know how to phrase it, but so I moved here, what, a year and a half ago?
Yeah.
And it's hard to make friends here. And I find myself sometimes where, like my therapist, I talk to them, we laugh, we joke, and it's like, I think, oh, we would get along. And then one time last year, whenever I hurt myself, the one doctor that I saw two or three times, like, we got along really well. Her and I had great rapport, found out she was a runner. We had kids about the same age. In my mind, I'm thinking, oh, we should be friends. But it feels weird to say that because in my mind, I'm paying them, right?
Yeah.
So if I would ask them to be my friend, like, it almost feels like friend prostitution, because, like, they would feel no, like, bad saying no.
Yeah.
To, like, your advances. Because if you're, isn't that, like, I don't know. I mean, maybe that doctor would be my best friend, because I feel like if I just met her at a running club, we would get along really well. But the circumstances, I couldn't. I'm just against paying for friends, which is why, also, hot take, I am against fraternities and sororities. I never understood the having to pay for friends, which people can come at me for that. I understand. And I feel like if I was from the South, where they get the really cool houses, especially, like, the sorority people getting the houses, at Penn State, you still had to live in a dorm and just put letters on your windows. So there was no perk. You literally were just paying for your friends.
Yeah. I don't think if you're paying for a service and you...
Continue.
Yeah. Okay. That came out wrong. Your doctor example, though, it's a service.
Yeah.
But you're not really paying for that service. You're being billed for medical. It's just different.
Well, here's another twist,
though. But how? I guess it doesn't matter where you meet people or in what context. Like, if you hit it off with somebody, it's just like a relationship. You got to be able to continue at some point.
Yeah.
But it's not weird to be like, hey, you want to get coffee sometime? I feel like you'd be fun to hang out with.
Yeah.
Like, they still have to be a professional as well if they were still your doctor. And they could politely say no.
No. Now, here's a twist, though. One of the things I was seeing her for was my anxiety. So I feel like she might have thought, oh, well, if I say no, her anxiety is going to go through the roof.
So you thought she just give you, like, a pity friend date?
Yeah. And then ghost me afterwards. And then I'd have to find a new doctor. I know. I thought through a lot of things. But again, I thought we'd be good.
Yeah, but...
It's hard to meet friends whenever you get to be older.
It really is.
And everyone's busy.
But that's where you just gotta pull the Band-Aid. Just ask the question.
That's kind of a doctor connection there, babe.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Okay, here's another Courtney take. See if you think this is the same way. If somebody comes up to me and they're like, oh, you gotta meet so-and-so. You will love them. They're just like you. My instant thought, no, I won't. I won't. I don't.
Because you can only handle yourself for so long.
Well, that plus, I feel like if somebody, I mean, maybe I should just say the track record of people saying you and this person are so alike, and then I meet that person and I strongly dislike them. The track record is not good, we'll just say.
Why is that?
I don't know. I think it's because people take just some of the aspects of me that they like. And it's normally even my best friends. Or, like, my ex. But they take the couple things that they like out of me and they see it in somebody else. But then they overlook all the other things. Like, maybe, oh, you're funny and she's funny. Oh, but she's funny over the top to the point of always needs to be the center of attention, which is not me. So whenever someone's like, oh, you're just like her, and then I see that person, I'm like, I really hope that I'm not like that person. Like, it gives me anxiety. So again, I think it's more the track record where I think there was only ever one person, Jamie, and I was told that I was going to get along with her, and the first half hour in my mind was like, there's no way. There's no way. She was cute and blonde, and to me, I don't think that I'm all that cute. I'm normal. I got brunette. I'm like, nope. Within an hour, great friends. She's the only one that I think ever got proved wrong.
But see, I think part of your struggle with making new friends nowadays is you don't follow up.
How so?
Well, I forget her name, but you met somebody at the pool last year.
Mm-hmm.
You guys talked for like 3-4 hours. You guys have a lot in common, and you never really followed up or engaged with her.
Well, I did a couple times, but here's the thing. She has 4 kids, and her husband is a doctor. And
it doesn't mean you can't text and be friends.
Well, But again, I guess it goes back to the where do you invest your time? And maybe her and I could have that friendship, but those couple core friends that I know I do have, by the time I'm done with all the kids and making sure we're a priority and everything else, I don't have a whole lot of mental capacity to invest in new friends. So it's probably something where maybe on like my goal list, I need to be like, my new goal is to make one new friend. I was going to say a month, but maybe like one new friend a quarter or acquaintance a quarter, and then see who becomes a friend.
Yeah, that's good.
Because maybe also focusing on the friend part is just a little bit much.
Yeah. No, I think that's good. I like that.
So I think as we talk about friends as a whole, like I said, you need to have friends to have community and to feel, I don't know, whole in your life and fulfilled. And luckily, I guess we've been able to figure out who our true friends are so far. And also that we've come to do our own therapy with ourselves to realize that we need more friends. But I feel like we also wouldn't try to force a friendship, which I feel like a lot of people do, or give a bunch of passes. So I think in the whole, you only live once or twice if you're lucky, you know, I think if we can just give our little words of wisdom of, I mean, if something doesn't feel right, then you don't need to force it. And if they want to be friends, they can put forth the effort as well. So it's kind of that whole, if she wants to, she will. If he wants to, he will, with like the whole dating thing. It's kind of the same with friendships. Like if they want to, they will. And the ones that have been by your side, make sure that you don't forget that.
And if somebody actually does put in effort, it's not a terrible thing to reciprocate.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
But be a good listener.
I'm going to work on that one too.
All right.
Well, thank you everyone. We appreciate it. Please like and share and listen next time. Thanks, guys.